Time for another chapter of history with our Loves Mid County in the good company of Keane Manning. Hello, Keane, how are you doing?
Yeah, thanks for having me back again. Today we're kind of taking a sideways glance, kind of somewhat we just mentioned a moment ago, alternative history.
Okay.
Anyone that's probably been listening knows that we like an old journey away from Waterford with a connection to pull us back.
Indeed.
So today's story is looking at an individual that went by the name Kate Townsend, and she was known as the Queen of the Demimonde.
Ooh. The Queen of the Demimonde.
Of the underworld.
So, oh, fascinating. Yeah. I like her already.
So fog is coming into the room here now.
So what kind of timescale are we talking here?
So we believe she was born around the 1830s, and we know for definite she died in 1883. So where our story opens up today is like an Agatha Christie novel almost. So in the spring of 1884, the mayor of Waterford receives communication from an attorney in Louisiana, and it details that this woman aged 45 years old, known as Kate Townsend, has left a substantial fortune of around $150,000.
That time.
So we're looking at maybe in around $5 million today.
Wow.
So a life-changing sum of money. And then it details the reasons why. So he's looking for heirs because the beneficiary of Kate's will was a man by the name T.E. Sykes. But he was not only the beneficiary of the will, but he was also the individual that murdered Kate Townsend in 1883.
So there was motive here.
So
we need a dun 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 freeze frame.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So it's very much like David Byrne. How do we get here? And
so he murdered her like an insurance job because he knew that he was going to gain from her death.
It's kind of a mixture of complex because there's definitely a toxic relationship angle to it.
But then she was leaving her money to him.
But yeah, but then you realise how Kate made her money and stuff. So if we kind of go back to the Waterford connection, there's so much. There's as much vagaries as there are details to her early days. So, for instance, some of the names we have related to this woman. We have a Kate Savage. There's a Kate Limbrigan. There's Bridget Cunningham and Kate Neal. All these names are associated with Kate Townsend. More than likely sure that her actual name was Bridget Cunningham. There's two stories about how she ends up in England initially. The first is that she travels there with her mother when she's a teenager. And she marries a sailor named Pinn, P-I-N-N.
What's his name or surname?
Surname.
Okay.
Yeah, Alexander, we believe, is, again, we have more names for him than most people as well. Kate actually gets Pin's surname tattooed on her arm, apparently, and they have two children together, and apparently Pin deserts Kate and left to raise two children by herself in Liverpool. She begins work as a barmaid, but is obviously struggling, and then decides to go to America. The other version of the story is that she was a very young teenager who tried for a better life in Liverpool. She gets work in a dance hall at Paradise Street in the city, and she marries a sailor called Peter Kernahan, and they have twins. And when Peter goes to sea, Kate again is in trouble financially, and she takes the decision to, I suppose, leave her children behind and go to
America. So she
America.
Didn't take her children in either scenario?
No, in either of those scenarios, no.
Of course, that's a tough decision to make for someone you think would have some, you know, for a man particularly.
I suppose, though, sometimes, now or even then, you might, on some level, feel that your children are better off without you. You know what I mean? You'd still hear those
stories.
Remember
that film, who will care for my children, or who will take my children, or whatever it is?
Did you just make this up?
No, it's based on a true story. She's got about 10 kids or something.
They find a name for that, didn't they?
Yeah, got about 10 kids and they all go to different
Would have happened a lot in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It is that thing of like sometimes circumstances, and particularly when we look back with the times that we have now, that it's hard to even comprehend how someone could come to that decision. But we know that Kate then in sort of 1856 goes from England to America, and by 1858, when we get some firmer details, we realise that she's now based in New Orleans, the Big Easy, struggling for work again. She ends up working in a brothel in the city. Actually appears to do quite well in that industry.
Okay, so she made her $5 million.
Yeah. What happens is the brothel that she's working in initially is frequented by sort of politicians, civic officials, police.
Which is
hard to believe.
High standing.
Basically, she is so popular as a sex worker that she ends up opening her own enterprise in 40 Basin Street. And it's a marble mansion, there's some illustrations of the building back in the day. Parts of it still stand. A very impressive place to go and celebrate, I would say. So it's in the heart of the red light district in New Orleans. So as I said, she was very strict about who she left in there. She had a very strict vetting process. So Ooh. You had to essentially be kind of well-to-do, of respectable character, and more importantly, to have good credit.
She had a proper business model.
Very much so. Like even the people that worked in the brothel, whether you want to use the term prostitute or sex worker, Kate referred to them as boarders. So
it's quite respectful.
Yeah, so yeah. There was about 10 to 20 women working in there. And one of the prerequisites for actually looking to avail of their services was that you had to buy them champagne.
Which was probably wicked expensive.
Of course it was.
Yeah, so it was very much, you know, a thriving enterprise that was probably not...
Would you not settle for a Lucozade?
Absolutely not, no. We demand the best. Keep hydrated.
Indeed.
Yeah. Oui.
No Cadet Cola here.
God, yeah.
All the brands are suitable. A big impact that changes the business and basically changes Kate's life to a certain extent is the impact of the aftermath of the American Civil War and the reconstruction of the South. So basically you see this malaise of the economy there that I suppose people that had disposable or discretionary income was probably in shorter supply. So she kind of has to relax the vetting process that had been so key to being such a thriving business. So for instance, in 1870, we know a drunken brawl breaks out in 40 Basin Street and one of the men dies. And to sum up the relationship Kate had with the police, she was actually gifted the murder weapon by them. It was a 9-inch bow knife.
Imagine.
Which she then subsequently kept under her pillow.
Oh, sure.
Wow.
Very much so. So going
probably
back,
clients of as well, sure.
Yeah, more than likely. Cause
it sucks someone's character like that, Oliver Carroll.
Well, I'm only saying.
First you're coming for the politicians, now the Gardaí.
If they're handing over the evidence, literally the case, to, you know what I mean?
The book of evidence is here.
Yeah, well, this is it.
And it's, if you remember from the start, we're talking about the individual T.E. Sykes. Mm-hmm. He basically looked after the books, was the accountant for the business, but he also had a romantic relationship with Kate. So it lasted about 25 years altogether. We know then on the night before her death, was the 2nd November 1883. So Kate Sykes and two others are out. And apparently their relationship had soured a lot. And in drink, they were both kind of cruel figures. Mm. I think Sykes, even at one stage, becomes addicted to opium.
Okay.
An argument breaks out. Kate pulls the knife on Sykes, demands an apology straight away, which he's not willing to do. They both separate. But a witness from the night is a boarder from Basin Street called Molly Johnson. And she says that Kate spoke to her that I've got to cut somebody. I'll go home and open Sykes' belly.
Oh, God.
So we're not fully certain what actually happens. The following day, all that we really do know is that Kate was stabbed 11 times by
11?
T.E. Sykes, and he turns himself in to the police.
Wow.
But then tries to avail of Kate's estate to pay for his legal defence.
A cheeky so-and-so.
It's an interesting one because there's different sums of money thrown around. Some people say that Kate had amassed a fortune of 340,000, but because of the crime Sykes had committed, plus legal fees that came along at the end, that they think he sort of gained $34
in
the end.
Okay.
So the attorney then that was taking the case on behalf of, I suppose, the memory of Kate Townsend tried to track down heirs in Waterford, I suppose, in a way to sort of combat someone gaining from proceeds of a crime, effectively.
Mm.
What's interesting, though, as well, Molly Johnston, probably one of the last people to see Kate Townsend. She followed Kate's last wishes to the end as regards her funeral. So the funeral was stocked with champagne and wine. 40 women and only 40 women were allowed to view her remains. And finally, no men were allowed whatsoever at the ceremony or at her burial. So it's believed that there was a procession of about 20 carriages.
Wow.
It was all women. So basically with the way the historiography or the way people are writing history about New Orleans now, Kate Townsend is seen as this sort of an important figure as regards, I suppose, to try and make her way in a male-dominated society.
Well, yeah, it's almost like the economic emancipation of women, isn't it? Like there's, proper feminist.
There's one historian.
But after abandoning your kids, I think is...
Stop coming down on her here, right?
Look,
stop
just,
it.
I'm just saying.
I'm on Kate's side in this situation. You don't know what kind of a life she left behind.
That's a fact, but by the same token, you've made
Keane, is there any
now.
Chance you're going to do a book on Kate?
There's actually, I'm going to tell you the person who's done a thesis on it, Lindsay Ann Silver is her name. She kind of concluded of Kate as a figure that, as regards high-class prostitution, provided women like Townsend access to power through money, mobility and violence.
Wow.
So, you know, if you're kind of looking at the Peaky Blinders kind of analogy, this is a very significant figure that wielded a lot of power at all levels of society, seen and unseen.
And another very interesting character, Kate Townsend. Keane, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Keane. Food for thought here.